Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another video here where I'm going to be talking about the return of the great men. Now, the great man theory of history was put forward by the chap you can see in the top left there, Thomas Carlyle, in the middle of the 19th century. Carlyle is one of my favorite writers and, has been almost the patron saint of this channel for a number of years now. One of several touchstone thinkers that by which I mean those of us in this little corner of the internet, return to again and again. One of the things that the liberal order has always hated is the heroic ideal, the idea of the great man of history. And Carlyle wrote an entire book. It was originally a lecture series called On Heroes and Hero Worship. Is the name of the book, but he basically says that history ultimately is driven by these colossal figures. Okay, I mean, if you think historically, it'd be like Cyrus the Great, Alexander the Great, you know, the Charlemagne characters like this, Genghis Khan. These are great men of history. Or later on, you'd say I don't know, Bismarck. Arguably, was a great man. Napoleon. Probably more than Bismarck even, was a great man of history. And why the liberal order hates this is because the liberal order wants things to be run almost by a faceless system, by a bureaucracy. And it doesn't want thing. It wants factors like the personalities of leaders to be insignificant features of the relations between countries, because ultimately, the relations between countries are all about, you know, do not relate to the personalities of kings anymore. That's not how we do things, because they are simply there as the representatives of the quote unquote people, something like this. Okay. So the antithesis of the great man theory of history is the liberal point of view, which I think is embodied by Tony Blair, right? Tony Blair always has us on this. It's like history is this great steam train heading towards better and better technology all the time. And you have to just jump on that technology. You have to go where the future's going, because the future is inevitable. Okay. Now, it just so happens that Tony Blair also advocates all of his friends being in power to make sure that the inevitable future actually does happen, which I always think is an interesting mental game to play. But in a way, in that worldview, we are all just simply atoms being swept along, right? It's almost like a kind of Forrest Gump view of history or something like that. We are insignificant. Any individual leader is insignificant. And you can actually see it in the kind of faceless parade of prime ministers we've had. We've got Keir Starmer now, very much a system man. Before that, it was Rishi Sunak, very much a kind of a manager, like the manager of a Swindon branch, you know. Then we had, Theresa May. These are just faceless creatures of the system, you know. But Boris Johnson was a kind of faux personality, I would say, but ultimately he ended up being a system politician. You know, Cameron was a system politician, faceless basically. Nick Clegg, the deputy prime minister under Cameron, faceless managerial regime type. Trump, very much not cut from that cloth. Trump, a great man in the Carlylean mode. And if you read Carlyle, the thing about these great men of history is that they're almost able to channel something in the zeitgeist through them, as against all of the little men, all of the little system bureaucrats who are defenseless against the overwhelming heroic force that gets bound up in the great man, who literally almost as a transmuter, as a mage, as a kind of magical figure, right? Almost a providential figure, sent by God, something like this, okay, is able to change reality. And we've watched Donald Trump change reality in America. He has literally single-handedly changed politics in America. This is the definition of great man politics, okay? Now, the thing is about the term great is that it's one of these terms like elite. You know, I talk up a lot about elite theory on this channel. And people say, oh, well, they're not elite because nothing about them is elite, okay? Well, the term elite is a technical, neutral term. And in the way that Carlyle uses the great man of history, great man is also a neutral term, okay? By which I mean, we're not saying because somebody's a great man, therefore they're great as a value judgment, okay? We're saying they're great in that they come, they have literally changed everything before them for better. Cromwell was a great man of history, okay? Adolf Hitler was a great man of history. Frederick the Great, Frederick II was a great man of history. These are some examples that Carlyle even talks about. He was obsessed with Frederick. Okay, it's a type. It's a kind of Caesar type of figure. Mussolini was a great man of history. And again, it's for good or for ill. And if you have a look at this graphic that I've taken this from, it's got all these great men walking like gangsters, almost like kind of mafioso from Reservoir Dogs. You know, President Xi is notably not a mere Chinese communist bureaucrat. In Chinese terms, he stands out. He has cemented his own personal power within the Chinese Communist Party to make it Xi's China. Just like Stalin was a great man of history. Again, these are some terrible... Stalin was a terrible guy, evil, you could say, but he's still recognizably a Carlylean great man of history. Okay? Vladimir Putin, a great man of history. All of these people are well on their way. Okay? Netanyahu is in the background there. I mean, if you think about the way that he has carried on, he has actually become very monarchical, very Carlylean in the way that he's carried on. Now, I'm not a fan of Netanyahu, as many people know, but he's still recognizable in Israeli history, a great man. Erdogan for Turkey, very, very obviously a great man of Turkish history who will be talked about in 100 years' time. Okay, and this is the thing. A great man comes to define everything about a place. He transforms it in his own image. The Ant-Man, the system bureaucrat, the little worm is swept along by history. The David Cameron, okay? Nobody would say, well, David, okay, you could say, well, it's David Cameron's Britain. But David Cameron didn't transform Britain, didn't take the country by the scruff of the neck and say, I am Cameron, damn you, and you will be reborn in my image. No, Cameron was a worm. Cameron was a follower. Whereas all of these men, for better or for worse, transformed their country in their own image. I've kind of ranted long enough now. I've got this clip from a stream I did over the weekend. All this week, I'm playing clips from that stream. A lot of people watched it. People have given me good feedback on it. But I think there was a number of very important topics I touched on over the course of the stream, where I talked about Trump's showdown with Zelensky. Just before I play it, I'll just remind everybody: do buy Foundations of Shakespeare, Trivium, all of the other great courses of the Academic Agency. Worth every penny. Thousands of students have done that. You know, maybe you too one day can become a great man if you do my Trivium. You know, but. Yeah, let me play this clip now, and when I come back, I'll talk a little bit more about all of this. Hosing down, humiliation for Zelensky. Now, I'm a little bit worried. Well, I shouldn't. I mean, I say I'm a little bit worried. I think to a certain type of European audience, it's going to play kind of... sympathetically for Zelensky, right? So, and I played Mrs. AA, the clip, who's a normie, who's not really up on politics. And like to her, it looked like a two-on-one gang up, a beatdown, right? And so like her female brain was like, oh, you know, bless him, Zelensky and all of that. Look, there's always going to be that. But really, that doesn't matter. You've got a contrast where that moment where he went to Congress and got a standing ovation and, you know, got flowers from Nancy Pelosi and, you know, Vogue magazine shots and all this utter wankery that they were doing a couple of years ago, and see how far he has fallen. Now, this is it. Like, he's been kicked into the ditch. Some manner possible. But, you know, I kind of really dug the gangster brutality of it myself, because it signals something else. You know, on that video I talked about on Thursday, where I had the former head of MI6, that interview that he gave. Number of times during that interview, he said, oh, we're going to a moment of strong men. And he said it like two or three times. And there were two women in the studio. One of the women was particularly emotional as well. And I was thinking, like, this brutal beatdown of Vance and Trump on Zelensky was very masculine, wasn't it? It was a very man's way of doing business, which you just cannot imagine Ursula von der Leyen, right? Or, you know, any of the women, any of the kind of European female leaders, or, you know, cackling Kamala and so on. So I'm kind of very pleased about the masculine turn that this is taking too. You know, it's Putin, it's Trump, it's Xi in China. Kind of like the return of great man politics. I've got Carlisle in the background on these streams. You know, every once in a while you'll see like Carlisle in the background, and I just, you know, because it's vindicating a lot of the things that we've talked about. Yeah, and just one last thing I'll pick up on, where this really makes a difference, this kind of great man politics that we're seeing, is that during the showdown between Trump and Zelensky, I won't replay it because you've probably seen it 100 times by this point, 1,000 times even. during the showdown, Trump was always extremely clear. That was Biden. He was stupid. That was the former president. He wasn't a very smart person. That was 2014. That wasn't me, right? Me, Donald Trump. I'm the thing that matters. Okay? Your relationship is with me. Forget about that other president. I am the king of America. Okay? That kind of focus on the big personality and the fact that it actually matters if you piss off Donald Trump personally, okay, is very different from the mode of politics we've been used to, which is all very system and organizational and institution driven. And I noticed that after the showdown, Zelensky went on Fox News, where he talked to some journalist on Fox. And in that interview, or in that address by Zelensky afterwards, he kept on saying, like, the American people, my relationship is to the American people. My relationship is to all, like, it's not just Trump, it is all of you, you know? Whereas Trump wants to make it about him. Okay, and the allegiance of MAGAites is to him personally, first. Okay, they talk about America first, but really it's Trump first. This is very monarchical, great man style of politics. Same in Putin's Russia, same with Putin, same with Erdogan in Turkey. Okay, this is the way that these men, and even in China, there was a great purge of anti-Xi forces within China. And it was the great hope of the West, if you remember, that Xi was going to be cooed or brought down by forces within the Chinese regime. She actually successfully was able to tame those people and bring the government fully under his control. So this means that in this mode, the actual personalities, actual man-to-man engagement matters a lot more than a lot of these kind of fictions of this institution and that institution, the great friendship between this corporation and that corporation. Well, institutions and corporations aren't people, so they can't actually have relationships in that way. And individual human beings cannot embody a corporation in that way. So this is extremely interesting. And in fact, this more monarchical way of doing things is talked about by my buddy Mike from Imperium Press, who has a great Substack, which you should read. He's talked a lot about how radical this is, okay? The allegiance to the man rather than to the institution. The Odinic man as against the Tyric man, okay? And these are our Odinic men. All right, so I think I've talked enough today. Pick up a course, like I said. Trivium is the best seller. Foundations of Shakespeare is the latest one that has been selling very well as well. Many other great courses there. And I will catch you guys tomorrow, where I'm going to be talking about the possible end of the Boomer Truth regime. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.